from stpetecatalyst.com. And here is Catalyst publisher Joe Hamilton.
Joining me today on Impact Catalyst is the co-founder of kindness.org, Jacqueline Lindsay. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thrilled to be here.
What a lovely topic to build a career around.
Yes, humbling and the hardest thing I've ever done.
Well, as you're the expert, because it's what you do, can you just briefly define kindness and what it means to you?
Sure. Our organizational definition, we say the ABCs of kindness. So it's always an action intended to benefit someone, typically at a cost. So the ABCs is how we like to think about it. I embraced my personal definition as realizing it's ever evolving and depends on the mood and moment. But I would say right now, it definitely feels like someone who is willing to forgive and choose someone else and helping someone else, even if it's hard.
And you started with the A, which is action. How often do you find that people feel kind? Because I guess it's not natural to feel unkind, but that even though they may feel kind, the actions don't always connect directly to that feeling.
Yeah, I love that question. So when we think about kindness, we see it as a meta value, and it encompasses feelings, things like empathy, compassion, forgiveness, fairness, justice, like all these ideas and concepts are nested under kindness. You can feel empathy, you can think internally a certain way, but until you act on that, to us, that is the conduit. That's what's important. That's where we spend our energy, is really thinking about how to motivate people to choose kindness. So to take the feeling they might have and then act upon it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And what are some of the strategies that you give folks to help them be more aware of their kindness and action levels as they go through their day?
Yeah, so the way we approach our work is really blending science with solutions. So we're really driven by evidence. We have a research team that's looking at effective kindness, the way kindness shows up, the barriers to kindness, what stops us from being kind. And then we try to design interventions, resources, tools that help people overcome those things, that make it easier for them to choose kindness. It's really a personal journey. I think just like the idea of going to the gym and needing to commit to it, creating habits of it, it's that. It's being willing to try one thing. You know, we're not asking for the grand heroic acts. It's really encouraging micro behaviors and helping people be reminded every act makes a difference. And then on our site, we provide lots of ways that you can start to find the path that makes sense for you based on where you're at and what you're interested in learning more about.
That's great. And you mentioned the gym as an example. And obviously, if you go to the gym over time, you get the six pack, you can run up the flight of stairs without being as winded. And so what does the science show us that the net result of following a kindness regimen gives us?
Kindness is really, truly miraculous when it comes to the way it shows up in our mind, body, spirit, if you will. So there's incredible evidence that shows kindness has a significant effect on our happiness and well-being. Kindness can affect anxiety, depression. It improves social connections. It can decrease blood pressure, decrease stress. There's a lot looking at kindness in different environments. So we recently conducted research looking at kindness within our neighborhoods, our communities where we live, and found that kindness is the best predictor of someone feeling comfortable in their neighborhood, a sense of inclusion, happiness in their life. So when you think about the role of kindness, it really is this incredible tentacle effect into everything, all parts of how we're living. So it's very good for you. More than that, it is good for you and the other. So the power of it, the power and potency, we call it a two for one. When you're doing a kind act, you will immediately have the positive benefits internally on your own mental health, but the person receiving it will as well. Even micro, it still is making a difference. So it's an incredibly important asset we have.
That's great. And I would assume there's even a little bit of extra good stuff that is made in the connection of two people having kindness that that exists directly from that connection.
Absolutely.
And I think the research you talked about, one of the umbrellas that was under was the United States of Kindness. You did that in partnership with Nextdoor, which, you know, sort of the general consensus on Nextdoor is there's certainly some unkindness that happens on there and in social media in general. So with, you know, the nature of a lot of the downside of social media, how does that play a role in the work that you do?
It's a great question. I think we've always committed to meeting people where they are. And at the end of the day, social media is an environment where people are showing up. It's where they're living their life. So we do try to focus on enriching positive content that hopefully motivates people to engage with kindness in a more meaningful or thoughtful way. When it comes to working with other platforms, and in this case, and in that research Nextdoor, we're not as invested into how it's showing up on the user side. We're really looking at research that can then help drive decisions around how we're talking about kindness, prioritizing kindness. And that was really exciting research to try and show, hey, kindness matters and it's important to be kind to your neighbors and here's why. So it's a phase. It's something that strengthens and bolsters the work and allows Nextdoor to then prioritize how they're communicating it. I know they're doing, as a company, a lot to try and commit to creating kinder cultures online, you know, how to make sure that it's a kind and safe space for people. I think it's complicated because, you know, the anonymity factor, social media allows you to be anyone. I think we get away with a lot more with it. So it's just being a lot smarter with it.
Yeah. I think, you know, looking at social media, a lot of times it feels like there's passionate topics that people are passionate about, and it feels like the energy doesn't have a place to go. And I think that's, you know, a lot of times it just comes down to the best satisfaction you can get out of an exchange is sort of a rhetorical one and a verbal one, a wordsmithing one, and that, you know, is where we often end up with some of the negative comments and under the guise of you know, expressing this energy. And I think that's a really good point for that self-awareness to come in and try to take that energy elsewhere and do tangible things with it. One of the other environments that you're very active in is with kids and schools. So can you talk a little bit about the efforts you've undergone in trying to make schools kinder?
Sure. So the way we approach any development of new products or programs is really trying to understand the need and the opportunity. So we certainly don't want to add to the noise. Kindness is nested under the idea of social emotional learning. And not everyone agrees that social emotional learning is a priority. In fact, that's been quite a big state issue here in Florida. There's a lot of research to validate that children need to learn more about things like emotional regulation, about their well-being, and about how those things are impacting how they're showing up in their life, you know, at school. And when we knew we wanted to develop something around kinder kids or to help kindness within students, we first went out and listened. We surveyed thousands of people, heard from educators, parents, kids, to try and understand what the opportunities were. A few things emerged. A lot of the SEL programs are prescribing kindness. There's some amazing things out there, but imagine trying to tell a five-year-old, go be kind. You know, you should be this way. One of the other things we saw is there was a lack of accessibility. A lot of the programming is expensive. Certain schools couldn't afford it. And teachers were battling it being a priority because it's considered a softer skill. So we took all that and said, how can we flip it? How can we turn this into something that's taken seriously, that's effective, impactful, and hopefully contributing to the livelihoods of students? And what's emerged is a program called Learn Kind. And it's an incredible, it's basically a curriculum serving kindergarten through eighth grade. And instead of prescribing kindness, we turn the students into student scientists. So we actually are blending inquiry-based learning, STEM, if you will, you know, using curiosity and inquiry as a means to drive teaching kindness. So at 5 years old, students are scientists, and they're going on their own journey to discover, what is kindness? What does it mean to me? How does it impact me? How does it impact others? All of it, all the modules are incorporating choice. and giving kids the tools. So when they're struggling with emotions and they don't know what to do when they feel angry, we're giving them the tools and helping them show why kindness can help them and be a tool for problem solving, as one example. The curriculum's free. It's funded by private donors and corporate partners. And in 2.5 years since launching it, we have now served 190,000 students across 48 states. And it really is trying to equip and empower students to chart their course when it comes to choosing kindness.
And, you know, it's such a, like you said, a soft skill. How do you measure impact? How can you quantify the work that you do?
Excellent question. Because we're data-driven and one of our big commitments is using science to inform all of our solutions, we are constantly collecting information on impact. So within LearnKind specifically, all of our educators that use the curriculum are going through a pre-post survey experience. So we're asking them questions about the health of their classroom, you know, what does bullying look like, what's the level of well-being in the classroom, and then after the curriculum, what impact did it have? Did you see changes in these things? And can we see a measure of positive change in all these different measures that matter to educators? So in our first pilot year, teachers graded their classroom as a C when it came to being a kind classroom. And at the end of the year, it had gone up to a B. So that was like a fun way because we all know, you know, what the grading system looks like. However, we've just recently closed out what's called a randomized control trial, which is one of the most rigorous forms of determining efficacy of a program, because you're basically putting a control group of people who aren't using your curriculum and then the user group who does, and you're comparing the impact. So more to come. The results will be released in about 2 weeks on what we learned there. But yes, as much as we can, always learning, hearing from teachers, qualitative feedback, and then we operate really nimbly by iterating and improving the experience based on all of those findings.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to hearing those results. You know, you've mentioned an age spectrum. A lot of research or a lot of science says that our emotional foundations are all kind of locked in by age 3. So when you look at your strategy for programming or where you focus your resources, what should we know about developmental stages and the sort of different ways to inject kindness at those different stages?
Love that question. Yeah, so we see the research shows us children at, you know, 1.5, 2 years old are exhibiting empathy. Every human has the capacity for kindness. It is innate. It's genetic. We've lived together in social groups for millions of years, and kindness is what's allowed us to survive and thrive. So it's essential for the overall subjective well-being of our communities. When it comes to bringing children up in the world in this way, I think the most important thing is modeling behavior at a young age, talking about these things, so having it be a part of dialogue. And I think research is different as far as emotional foundation. You know, there's some that shows we have up until children are 7 to really be shaping how they're developmentally you know, building up their own awareness of the world. And then some argue it's, you know, yeah, it's 3 to 5 is really the target range. And I think that as long as we're starting early and making it a core part of the conversation and dialogue, that's the most important thing. Because what starts to happen as we get older, our innocence becomes impacted by lived experience. You know, we start experiencing bullying. We start becoming aware of bad things in the world. We start to see poverty, you know, we start to see systemic, you know, issues, inequality, inequity. And so the more that we start to learn about what that is, it's so important that the internal compass driving you as a child, hopefully, is motivated by one of wanting to help, wanting to make an impact, you know, to contribute, even in small ways to one student. And that's the hope. That's the goal.
That's wonderful. And you know, as folks who are you know, enjoying this conversation, you know, to this point, what can we do? You know, what are the things that we can do? I don't think our our demographic is 3 to 5, unfortunately. We're working on that. But for older, the, you know, little slightly older folks that are watching along now, what are some things we can do in our daily lives, or some immediate practices, or some immediate exploration, self-exploration we can do to get our heads around some more kindness?
Yeah, I would encourage whoever's listening, one, remember that every act makes a difference. So a lot of our research looks at the smallest acts that you can think of, smiling at a stranger, holding a door open, and everything is validated. It all matters. It all can make an impact. In fact, some of the most inspiring stories we've heard are about the smallest things that you think maybe you're indifferent to, or they're not very, very significant. And on the contrary, they are. So just remember, when you're out and about in your day, look for that moment where you can choose kindness. I also like to remind people kindness isn't random. So this idea that, like, oh, go do a random act, it's like, actually, every time we take that moment, even to hold the door open, it takes intention, it takes something, it takes a moment of our time. And so embrace that. Our Get Started page is full of resources, you know, for people who are thinking about kindness within difficult topics like racism or times of crisis. We have research that we've done there. We have a lot of tools there. If you're interested in Learn Kind, maybe at your children's school, or, you know, or your nephew or niece's school or something like that, it's free. Let us know. Email us. Our site, again, is hopefully very easy to navigate. You can also email us. We've got lots of forums, and we respond to every single email we receive. And, you know, find the thing in your mind that's maybe stopping you from being kind or wanting to embrace it. If you are challenging with the narrative, you know, if you're thinking, oh, kindness is soft or fluffy, on the contrary, let me show you why it's like one of the greatest things we have. It's one of the greatest strengths we have. And we'll send you our TED Talks and science papers if that's kind of what would help you. So, yes, I would say do an act and think about maybe your own barriers or challenges. And then if you need resources, please come find us. We would want to help.
Yeah, that's great. And fantastic domain, kindness.org. That was a good score on that one. And I would, you know, and I would venture to say that just, you know, the intention to do that, you know, to spend the day looking for doors to hold open for people, that intention that just permeates your day has to be pretty powerful as well, you know, and then expressed through the action.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Jacqueline, Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to tell us about kindness.org. Thank you for the great work that you're doing. And we'll look forward to seeing those results in a couple weeks with the control study group and continuing to follow along with your work. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you for having me today.
From stpcatalyst.com.